Blog Talk Radio.
Until I can.
Good evening. Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the First Baptist of Holly Springs Bible Study Power Hour. It is October the 24th, year of our Lord, 2023, and you're listening to the First Baptist of Holly Springs Bible Study Power Hour. I am the pastor, Reverend Michael Rogers. I'm glad you have joined us tonight. We thank God for all of you who are on the line, those of you who are listening over the internet. First Baptist is located at 208 Grigsby Avenue, where we have just celebrated 157 years that the Lord has blessed the house of worship. You are cordially invited to come and be a part of the services of First Baptist, 208 Grigsby Avenue in the city of Holly Springs, North Carolina. We invite you to come and be a part of our service each Sunday morning. Our service starts at 10 a.m. 10 a.m. we start our service, and we are in the sanctuary giving God the glory. You're cordially invited to come and be a part of those celebrations and that service. We thank God for all of you who were with us on last Sunday and those of you who are planning to come in the future. We want to thank God for all of you who are continuing to support the house of God. I want to thank the officials of First Baptist, the program director, Minister Edward McCullough, and all of those who worked so diligently on the hospitality committee, who worked so hard to make sure that we had a wonderful, wonderful homecoming on last Sunday. Reverend Otis Berg preached a wonderful sermon. I'm a Survivor was his title. And the meal course sang, and we just had a great time in the Lord. We thank God for the great food that was given as well. So we had a wonderful time on last Sunday as we celebrated the church's birthday or anniversary of 157 years that the Lord has blessed First Baptist. We invite you to go to our Facebook page. Go there. Don't forget to like and then share so others will know that First Baptist is on Facebook. On the Facebook page, you'll find more information about First Baptist. You'll find more about our upcoming events at First Baptist. You will find the Bible study link. Each Bible study has a separate link. All of our Bible studies are archived. That's why each Bible study has a separate link. If you want to go back and listen to any Bible study, you can go to our Facebook page. You can find the Bible study that you would like to hear and click on that link. It will take you directly to that Bible study. If you would like to speak or you would like to participate in the Bible study, you can call the call-in number. That area code is 845-241-9839, area code 845-241-9839. 9839. That's the number you can call if you want to participate in the Bible study. If you want to listen to the Bible studies or all the Bible studies that we have done this year, all you got to do is go to the Facebook page, the First Baptist of Holly Springs Facebook page, find the Bible study that you would like to hear, click on that blue link, it will take you to that Bible study, and you can hear every Bible study that we have done so far this year. We thank God for all of you who are listening and those of you who are supporting the house of God. We pray God's blessing upon you. I want to stay in prayer for those who are going through, those who are sick, those who are in the hospital, those who are sick at home. There are a lot of sickness going around. We know that the Lord is still in the blessing business, but we must be careful and we must be prayerful to make sure that we do all that we can do to make sure that we stay safe. The pandemic is not over. The worst part of it is over, but we still have to remember that the virus is still alive and well, and we have to take every precaution that we can take during those particular times just to make sure that we protect ourselves, that we thank God for giving us the protection that we do have. So let's still pray for those who are sick, those who are going through, those who find themselves in various situations. We know that God is still in the blessing business. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, we thank you for this night. We thank you for this Bible study. Thank you for those who are on the line, those who are listening over the internet. We pray, God, that we go through our lesson tonight, that you will give us understanding and wisdom, that we may know what thus saith the Lord. We pray, God, for your blessings upon the house of worship. You will continue to bless First Baptist of Holly Springs. In fact, churches everywhere, as we continue to do the work according to your will and to your way to build up your kingdom. This we pray in Jesus' name, amen and amen. Our lesson tonight, we're still in the book of James. We got one more lesson in the book of James. Our lesson tonight comes from the third chapter of James, wisdom from above. I'll pause while you find the third chapter of James. That's the third chapter of James. We're still in the book of James. We've been there for the last few weeks, and we will be there for another week or so with the book of James. Now, again, I got to remind you that James writes to the church. He's writing to Christians. He's not writing to anybody. He's not writing to everybody. He's writing to Christians. He's writing to those who are in the church, particularly in Jerusalem. And so his writing is instructions for those who call themselves Christians. Everything that we have been talking about from the book of James is addressed to Christians, those who are in the house of God. I don't want you to think that James is just talking to everybody. It's a good word for everybody. That is true. But his instructions are for those who are in the house of God. Our lesson tonight is called Wisdom from Above. We had a similar topic that we discussed last year in our Bible study. I think we were in the book of 1 Corinthians, around the 20th chapter of 1 Corinthians, when we talked about wisdom from above. But we have this lesson tonight, Wisdom from Above, coming from James, the third chapter. We're going to start in verse 13. Verse 13. And it says, who is a wise man and endowed with the knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. Those with true wisdom will rightly apply the knowledge that they gain from learning in the will of God. And this will of God is revealed to us in the Bible and in our own conscience. Those with understanding will know the consequences of right and wrong thoughts. We know the consequences of right and wrong choices and right and wrong behavior without needing to learn the consequences from good and bad personal experiences. Bible study gives people wisdom and understanding, partly because they learn what to do and what not to do from God's commandments and the experiences of those who made good and bad choices in the Bible. You see, in many cases, they see the consequence of obedience and disobedience from the example of those they learn about in the Bible. As they read the Bible, as we read the Bible, Christians should choose to live a good life and produce good fruit in word and action. And they can do so with the guidance and the help of the Holy Spirit. They can also pray for the grace of God to empower them and others to do what is right. Wisdom inspires believers to speak gently instead of harshly. Wisdom inspires believers to be humble instead of being arrogant, and know how they can depend upon God to give them the power that they need to do his will. It is good that we understand the concept of what the scripture is saying. This is a short lesson, but it's a very powerful one because I want to explain as we go through. When it says, who is wise? Who is a wise man and endowed with knowledge? This word wise meant in biblical days someone who had a moral insight or someone who had the skill or the practical understanding of the issues of life and understanding the trials that you go through in life. That's a person who has some type of wisdom. We know and show the presence of wisdom by good deeds we practice with our humanity. Only obedient deeds, not mere talk, proves the presence of wisdom. And so when he says, let him show out of a good conversation, it's basically, we used to say a long time ago, show and tell. You know, if you are who you say you are, then show it. Show and tell. Good behavior, good deeds, good understanding, good attitude, good gentleness. You know, it's good for us to talk about how saved we are, but it's another thing to act in that way. It is not a matter of acquiring truth in lectures or about applying it to some type of understanding, but it's concerned and applies to those who learn truth and then apply it to their life. Gentleness and meekness refers to a submissive spirit opposed to arrogance and self-seeking. The person with meekness is not a doormat for the desires of others, but they control and they overpower the natural human tendency to be arrogant and self-assertive. And this is what the scripture means when it says, who is a wise man that endowed with knowledge among you? Let him show out of good conversation his works with meekness and with wisdom. And then verse 14 says, but if ye have bitter envying and strife in your heart, glory not and lie not against the truth. You see, true wisdom makes no room for bitter jealousy or self-ambition. Christians should be filled with the love of God and the Spirit of God so they can love God and love others rightly without envy and selfish ambition. It is one thing to be ambitious and work hard to achieve goals consistent with the will of God, as revealed in the Bible, with the help of the Spirit. It is quite another thing to be selfish and ruthless and take unjust advantage of others to achieve your personal goals. As Christians, we must read the scriptures daily so we can assuredly know the truth about God, know the truth about reality, know the truth about ourselves and others, and know the truth about what the Spirit is saying to us. You see, our Bible study can help us recognize if we are motivated by any bitter or envy or strife in our lives. When we read the Bible, when we study the Bible points to all of those things, and we must use that as a mirror to see if we are in order. We need to pray with earnest desire to know what the will of God is for our lives. We need to earnestly desire that God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And that's why we pray, let thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Christians must have an ambition to pray and live with submission to Christ. They must maintain an open mind and an open heart to receive the Spirit leading and avoid self-centeredness and other sins. If a Christian filled with the Spirit, when a Christian is filled with the Spirit, there is no room for bitter envy or selfish ambition in their heart. Those who call themselves Christians while maintaining bitter envy and pursuing selfish ambition are false to the truth and the truth about what kind of person that they are, the kind of person that God is and the kind of person that God is trying to make them to become. You see, bitter envy and strife and ambition proves that a person is following the root of a false wisdom. Envy describes a determination to desire to promote one's opinion to the exclusiveness of the of opinions of other people. Selfish ambition pictures a person who tries to promote a cause in an unethical manner. This person becomes willing to use divisive means to promote a personal viewpoint. Bitter rivalries develop out of these practices. When we begin to use strife and bitterness in our decisions, it will determine who we are and how far we can go. You see, selfish ambition is just like a person who wants to get their own way all the time, no matter what they have to do in order to do so. And so he tells us in the scripture, but if you have bitter envying and strife in your heart, said glory not, don't be proud of that. Don't think that that's a great idea. There was a time in the Greek philosophy where being divisive and backstabbing was considered smart. And it's kind of like that today as well. We glory with people who are con artists. We glory in people who can get away with it. We glory with people who are smart enough to break the law and find a way to get around it. But what the Bible is telling us, that's nothing to glory in. That's nothing to be proud of. That's nothing to be satisfied about, because it's a lie against the truth. It's a lie against the truth. Let's look at verse 15. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish. Bitter envy, selfish ambition, and boasting is a manifestation of worldly wisdom. Christians seem to demonstrate almost every day in this world. Let me say that again. Bitter envy, selfish ambition, and boasting is a manifestation of worldly wisdom that Christians seem to demonstrate almost daily in this world. You see, heavenly wisdom comes from the divine revelation and the wisdom in the Bible, an example of Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit gives and lives within Christians. Therefore, they recognize worldly wisdom for what it is, and they seek to avoid thinking and living as the world does. Worldly wisdom is earth-focused or creation-focused or self-focused instead of God-focused. Earthly wisdom does not think of heaven or God work in the world. It does not think of human history. It does not think of Christ. Worldly wisdom is not truly spiritual in the biblical sense, but often pretends to be spiritual, often pretends to be religious. Those with a worldly wisdom religion, they only speak of God or use the name of God when they want to selfishly manipulate religious people to achieve a self-centered or earth-centered ambition. Let me read that again too. Those with a worldly wisdom religion only speak of God or use the name of God when they want to selfishly manipulate religious people to achieve a self-centered or earth-centered ambition. But finally, James warns us that worldly wisdom and world religion is the religion of the enemy or of the devil. The devil who fills his world seeks to devour Christians, as Peter described in 1 Peter 5 and 18. Discipline yourselves and keep alert. Like a roaring lion, our adversary, the devil, prowls around, looking for someone to devour. Those who reject the divine wisdom of the Bible often boast and think they are wiser than Christians. They boast that their thinking is based on what they can learn or from their experience and from their observation and from their own thinking abilities and from others who think just like them. But they are often unknowingly misled by the enemy, who influences their thinking and their choices. Christians should not be surprised when those who have turned from divine wisdom begin acting earthly or unspiritual or devilish. Therefore, as Peter wrote, Christians need to discipline themselves and keep alert, being ambitious to know and do the will of God according to the Bible, so they do not fall for the schemes of those earthly, unspiritual, and devilish schemes. This envy and strife and this true wisdom comes from above, and false wisdom comes from below. In other words, there is a heavenly wisdom that comes from God, and there is a man-made wisdom that comes from not from God. Whatever does not come from God is destined to fail, no matter how successful it may seem at the time. The believers have three enemies, the world, the flesh, and the devil. You'll find that in Ephesians 2, 1 through 3. These three enemies are suggested by the terms earthly, sensual, and devilish that we find in the scripture here when it talks about this wisdom that descended from above. This wisdom descended not from above in verse 15. It is earthly, sensual, and devilish. That's what he's talking about when he uses those terms, earthly, sensual, and devilish. That means that these three words, the world, the flesh, and the enemy. First, the kingdom of this world. Do not confuse the world's knowledge and the world's wisdom. Certainly, there is a great deal of knowledge in this world, and we all benefit from it, but there is not much wisdom. Humanity unlocks the secrets of the universe, but we do not know what to do with those secrets that they unlock. Many persons are enamored with the wisdom of this world, but they ought to read the two chapters of 1 Corinthians and notice how Paul has to say about God's wisdom and man's wisdom. And that's why I say when we studied this lesson about wisdom in 1 Corinthians, we gained great insight of what Paul had to say about the same thing. Our wisdom comes from reasoning, while God's wisdom comes from revelation. Our worldly wisdom comes from nothing, while God's wisdom will endure forever. This false wisdom has another source. It's sensual, that is not natural. And so we must avoid and stay away from that type of wisdom. This wisdom that is from the beneath is also demonic. Beginning in chapter 3, where Satan successfully deceived Eve, and continuing through the entire Bible, there is a wisdom of Satan at work, fighting against the wisdom of God. Satan convinces Eve that she would be like God. He told her that if she ate from the tree, it would make her wise. Ever since that event, people have continued to believe Satan's lies and have tried to become their own gods. You see, the devil has wisdom that will confound and confuse us if we do not know or listen to the wisdom of Almighty God. Let's go to verse 16. For where envy and strife is, there is confusion in every evil work. Unhappily, worldly wisdom people can sometimes be found living among Christians in the church. Let me say that again. Unhappily, worldly wisdom people can sometimes be found living among Christians in the church. They bring their envy, their selfish ambition, their pride, their devilish beliefs into the church, and they hide behind the saints, and they hide among the saints. And when you, and sometimes it's hard to distinguish who they are, for they know all the right words, they can sing all the right songs, they know all the right scriptures, but they bring their selfish ambition, their pride, and their devilish beliefs into the church, and they can mislead some to begin thinking and acting as they do. Therefore, Christians must stay alert for those who think and speak with worldly wisdom. And these people that come into the house of God with worldly wisdom will bring disorder and wickedness of every kind into the church. James was not afraid to tell it like it was. One can look at the way many government functions around the world and see the consequence of envy and selfish ambition. For these governments are disorderly, and their rulings being disorder and endorsing wickedness of every kind that supports the will of those who want worldly wisdom. Wars and rumors of wars and death and destruction everywhere comes from man's wisdom. And wickedness in a church can sometimes be traced to the envy and the selfish ambition that motivates some of us in the church. Sometimes, beloved, church leaders with selfish ambition will lead a church in ways that favor them and meet their selfish needs instead of the way God provides for the service of his people. We have to be on guard for that. True wisdom is free from self-interest and from strife. This verse lists some attributes and characteristics of this wisdom in verse 17. It says, but the wisdom that is from the above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, and without hypocrisy. Contrast those manifestations of worldly wisdom and world religion with true Christians in the church. The true spirituality described in the Bible encourages people to live by faith in Christ Jesus. True faith in Jesus as Savior frees sinners from cursing and envy and selfishness and show partiality and being hypocrites and showing wickedness. Following Christ as Lord of our life will free us to act on the divine wisdom, to learn from the Bible, enable us to bear the fruit of the Spirit. And as the fruit of the Spirit works within us, Paul listed the fruits of the Holy Spirit in Galatians 5 and 22 and 23. He said the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against such things. A person can use the list of traits in this verse that James writes in the 17th verse of his third chapter and in Galatians 5:22 and 23 to test themselves and discover whether they need to grow spiritually with the help of the Word of God and the Holy Spirit. Being willing to yield does not mean that you're willing to yield to wickedness, but you're willing to yield to the word of God. James meant believers should be willing to yield and do what God wants, or be willing to yield to do what someone who's working through God wants. You see, being full of mercy will inspire you to pray for someone to make the changes they need rather than cursing them out. That's interesting. Being full of mercy will inspire you to pray for someone to make changes in their life rather than cursing them out. Praying for others and blessing others are good fruits to bear. Having a pure motive and being peaceable and gentle toward those who need correction will produce better results than cursing them out. And sometimes it's so easy just to get mad at folk. You see, wisdom comes from above. The first thing that he says about wisdom is that it's pure or holy. And then he says it's peaceable and gentle. And it's considerate or forbearing, reasonable, or compliant or obedient. Wisdom is full of mercy and good fruits. Wisdom is unwavering or impartial. Wisdom has no doubt, and wisdom is not a hypocrite, because so much time can be spent individually on each one of these traits for both false wisdom and true wisdom. Let's look at these characteristics of true wisdom and a quick overview. He says that there are certain things that you must have in order to show forth wisdom. He said, first of all, that wisdom must be pure. That means it must come from the word of God. Then it must be peaceable. That means that that wisdom must bring peace to where there is chaos. It must be gentle and easy to be entreated. In other words, you got to be ready to deal with people no matter how you feel about them or no matter how they feel about you. Full of mercy, willing to forgive, willing to let it go, letting people know that things could happen in life, and we can all fall short. Having those good fruits without partiality, just because it's someone that I know or someone that I love, I'm partial to them when they do wrong, but I'm not partial to someone who I don't know when they do wrong. You can't have partiality. And, of course, you can't be a hypocrite to be a child of God. Let's go to the last verse, verse 18. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. The wicked behavior of others may influence a Christian to curse or the wicked and retaliate against them. However, a harvest of righteousness may come from blessing those who practice wickedness and from praying for those to repent from their sins and come into saving faith in Jesus. You see, as Christians, we must pray. Because as Paul reminded us in Ephesians 6 and 12, our struggle is not against the enemies of flesh and blood, but against the rulers and against the authorities, against the cosmic powers of the present darkness, against the spiritual forces in heavenly places. You see, only Christ can save the wicked from their wicked practices so they can be blessed by God. If a person is practicing wickedness, claims to be a Christian, but refuses to repent and follow Christ, believers can pray for God to discipline them in ways that will lead them to repent and follow him. Then they can receive the blessings of God's forgiveness and the gift of eternal life. Those who make peace will not compromise with wickedness. Instead, they will sow the word of God in peace. While sowing the word of God, they will pray and do as Paul commanded in Ephesians 10 and 11. Finally, he said, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his power. Put on the whole armor of God so that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Those who peaceably sow the word of the Lord enjoy a harvest of righteousness within themselves and among the fellows and those fellow Christians that they associate with it. They will live at peace with God and within themselves because they live right with God and according to the teachings of Christ. They will do as Paul wrote in Romans 12 and 18. If it is possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. In Matthew 5 and 9, Jesus promised, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God." And so it is in our lesson tonight. Because these traits that we have heard about are so important for us as Christians, we must learn to learn how to deal with ourselves. What is Christian's wisdom? What is the Christian's wisdom? Do we look at the philosophy of the world? Do we look at the philosophy of those who report the news, of those who may find themselves in high standing and popularity, or those who have a lot of friends on Facebook? What is our wisdom? Do we look at philosophies of the world? No. To begin with, Jesus is our wisdom. You'll find it in 1 Corinthians 24. In Christ are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. The first step toward true wisdom is the receiving of Christ as your personal Savior. The Word of God is also our wisdom. See, I have taught that statutes and rules, as the Lord my God commanded me, that you should do them in the land that you are entering to take possession of. This was written so many years ago. He said, keep those commandments, keep those statutes, and surely you will become a great nation. And James 1 and 5 indicates that we find wisdom through believing in prayer. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, it says. The Holy Spirit of God is the spirit of wisdom and revelation. And he directs us in the wisest path as we trust the word and pray. The origin of true spiritual wisdom is God. To get our wisdom from any other source is to ask for trouble. Peace is the seed sown that yields a harvest of righteousness. A truly wise person is a person of peace. To achieve righteousness, spiritual maturity, practical holiness are the themes of what we should be doing. As a believer, we must learn to speak with care, appealing and knowing how to talk to one another. A mouth filled with praise results from a mind filled with purity. We can do these things if we listen to the words of James as he writes about wisdom from above. I'm going to open the lines. There may be someone who would like to speak on what we have talked about tonight. And then I got a question or two I want to ask as we go. Somebody may be able to answer this question as I go. Let's go to top area code 910, last four digits, 5088. Are you on the line?
Yes, I am.
Okay. How are you tonight?
Fine, and you?
Good, good. Good to hear from you. Go right ahead.
I enjoyed the lesson tonight about James. I have on verse 17, a truly wise man. I have some things I wrote down on what he said in 17. Well, how you can tell a truly wise man, he's easy to reason with and willing to try to see the other person's viewpoint. And then if you were to go to the worldly wise man or the, I forgot what you had, worldly wisdom, you can't approach him easily. And he generally keeps you at arm's length. To reason with him is all but impossible. And his mind is already made up, and his opinions are not subject to change. So that was one of the things that came from that verse, dealing with the truly wise and then the worldly wise.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you so much. Let's go to area code 757, last four digits, 5803. Are you on the line?
Good afternoon, everyone. Yes, this is Sherry.
Yes. Good afternoon, Sherry. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. Hope everyone else is. I truly enjoyed today's lesson, and I think what hit me most about it was what you kind of said right here at the end, that wisdom, in order to have wisdom, the first step is accepting Christ as your personal savior, and then having faith and being a peacemaker and, you know, gentle, and having, you know, mercy and just obedient to God's word.
Exactly. Let me ask you a question. What do you think it means when the Bible says false to truth?
That was false to, what was that?
What does it mean when the Bible says that that's false to truth? In verse 14.
In verse 15, let me go back.
Verse 14.
Verse 14, it says, "Everybody have bitter envy and strife in your heart, gourd." Yes. Oh, okay. Not lying against the truth.
What do you think that means?
I think that maybe means, you know, saying that maybe you're a Christian but doing other things outside of the Christian realm. Maybe.
Okay. All right. I agree with you. A lot of that has something to do with what people will accept from the truth. Sometimes people don't want to hear the truth, and they would rather hear the lie.
Yeah.
They'd rather hear a lie than to hear the truth.
Than to hear the truth. Oh, got it. Yeah.
Right. And sometimes we will lean toward that more so than leaning toward what the Bible says, what the truth of the word is. And we will lean on what somebody else says rather than lean on what the Bible says, you know. And we're being false to the truth at that point. Thank you so very much. Area code 919, last four digits, 1694. Are you on the line?
Good evening, Pastor Rogers and everyone.
Good evening, Deacon. How are you?
Just pulled in the yard. Just got off work and was listening to the lesson while on the ride home. Yes, sir. once again, a powerful lesson. I had not really put it all together and really sat down and really thought about it, about the three wisdoms. You know, there's God's wisdom, Satan's wisdom, and earthly wisdom or man's wisdom. I knew it was, but I hadn't really sat down to think about it to separate them like that. And I thank you for pointing that out, and you know, so I can, you know, study on that, you know, at another time or have actually be more alert and knowing what true wisdom is.
All right. Well, thank you. Stay on the line because I'm going to come back and ask you to give me an example of how earthly wisdom and wisdom from above can conflict, how they conflict one another. I'll come back to you in just a minute. Let's go to Trustee Mangum. Are you on the line?
Yes.
Good evening. How are you?
Good. I'm good. Oh, for one year. Yes. I enjoyed the lesson. I really did.
Thank you. Thank you.
Well, one thing I got from that, a few things was like, we have to keep asking God to help us develop that true wisdom. You know, and things that when we are in love with our own ideals instead of the Lord, we struggle with to promote our ideas and success. rather than promoting of God. Mm-hmm. And we also ought to show the presence of wisdom by good deeds.
Right.
Uh-huh. Right. And wisdom is not measured by degrees.
Right.
No, but deeds.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Now, even when, you know, we're involved in a disagreement, you know, we just have to pray to God, you know, to guide us.
That's true.
Sometimes the key to the right talk is the right thought, that, you know, mm-hmm. things that we had in our minds. And when I was reading the lesson, and it had gave an example, look like this way, like the tongue is in a cave of mm-hmm. teeth and lips. That is still mm-hmm. escape. Yes.
Mhm. Mhm. Exactly. Thank you so very much for that. You're right on with that. That's right on with that. Deacon Taylor, have you thought about that question I asked you?
Yes, sir.
Give me an example of how that happens. Earthly wisdom and heavenly wisdom can collide.
Wow. Mm. It seems like it's a very easy question, but when we sit down and think about it, it's something that we really don't think about. We understand as Christians how we should, you know, go by Galatians 5:23-24, and, you know, about the fruits of the Spirit and et cetera, et cetera. And how we should not store our riches not on earth, but, you know, in heaven. You know, we should be preparing our souls to be with Christ. But our earthly wisdom will be like, we're kind of like living for today and not tomorrow. So true wisdom comes from God. But now I'm thinking about it, it's like what we have down here is common sense, and we still don't even use our common sense all the time. Like, you know, just like it was 30, 40 degrees this morning, but it was 70 degrees up this afternoon. There was no need to walk out this morning in T-shirts and shorts. You know, it's saying, oh, it's going to be warmer later, but we have to deal with what's going on now in the present. But and then we can take off those layers later on when it gets warmer. I just got so much going through my mind about that question. I hope I have touched on something. I know it wasn't really clear, but I hope I touched on something.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you so very much. Thank you. Sherry, are you still there?
Yes, sir. Sherry? I'm still here.
Sherry, how can we practice self-control?
The quickest thing that comes to mind to me is by praying and asking God to, you know, assist us with that, by reading His Word daily and, you know, trying our closest to walk like Jesus, you know, as close as we can.
Okay, I think you pretty much nailed it when you said we need to pray, because that's the only way we can do it. You know, sometimes we can do it ourselves, but then there are times that we need the Lord's help. By praying, we seek His help when we pray. And I think you answered that question very well, because that's one of the things that we forget to do. I talked about that last week a little bit, about how we are quick to jump to conclusions instead of waiting for the Lord to give us a clear understanding of what we are dealing with. Trustee Mangum, are you still there?
Yes, sir.
Having mercy and gentleness, does that mean that you are a doormat? Let people walk
no.
over you? What does it mean?
No. it doesn't mean that. It doesn't mean that you are a doormat. It just means that you are, to me, it means that you're just trying to do the right thing and just, like, keep down of peace, keep peace.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, you just don't just fly off the handle. That's the way I was looking at it.
Blessed is the peacemaker. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right.
We call the children of God. Amen. Amen. Mm-hmm. Absolutely right about that. Does anyone else have anything they'd like to add about the lesson or the teaching of the lesson? One of the things that I wanted to just add, and I wanted to get your opinion on before we go, is the fact that, you know, we are in a very crucial time in world history right now. There's a lot of wars going on. And a lot of these wars are centered around man's understanding and man's wisdom. They're fighting over territory. We're fighting over politics. But ultimately, a lot of this is religious wars that are going on. How do you think these things are going to work out? How do you think, what do you think is going to happen with all of these wars, the one in the Ukraine and Russia, the one with Israel and the Palestinian war in Gaza? How do you think all of this is going to play out? Because all of this is part of the wisdom of man. I want to hear what each one of you have to say. I'll start with Deaconess Rainey. What do you think?
I don't know, Pastor. Let's see. How do I think it's going to turn out?
Mm-hmm. Okay. I understand. Sherry, what do you think?
Well, I don't know for sure, but I do know that it won't turn out for the good, but in reading Revelations, have read Revelations, a lot of what's happening is what's in Revelations.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know how close we are to end times, but some of those things that it's talking about are happening in today's, world.
Absolutely, absolutely. Dick and Taylor, what do you think?
Yes, sir. First of all, all of it is, like you said, it's more spiritual than we even think. That we think about on a daily basis, because the scriptures tell us that we fight not against flesh and bone, but principalities, all that in high places, so that's powers and evil powers in a lot of places that has so-called power.
Mm-hmm.
And it's making men do this or do that and fight against each other. But like Miss Sherry said, it refers back to Revelation. My second point is with Israel, Gaza Strip, the Palestinians. We're talking about generations and generations of basically kinfolk fighting each other.
And it's been
going on for so long. I mean, and they've gone so generations and generations removed. It goes to even in some families are fighting each other to this day, and that, but that's on a much larger scale. But it is so very spiritual, and the only thing we can do is pray for peace, pray for some type of resolution, pray for the ones who are caught in the middle. Pray for what it's doing to the outside world, outside of the Gaza Strip and Israel. I mean, that's, we just gotta pray. I mean, we gotta be disciplined about it.
Amen.
Just talk about it, not just say it on there, but we have to actually be doing these things.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And I would like, I would like to say one other thing that really doesn't pertain to tonight's lesson.
Go right ahead.
Pastor Rogers. So,
go right ahead.
So at, on Sunday service, I pointed out a friend in the audience. I mentioned that we used to be drinking buddies, and I really thought about that afterwards. But I said that to let everyone who saw me, who had eyes to see me, and ears to hear, how I wanted them to know how God had changed me from being an alcoholic, 25 years ago, to mm-hmm. thirsting for the Word of God only now. And I hope I didn't. I know it was a chuckle or two, but I wanted to be I wanted to be open so people could see and understand how God can change and use anybody. If He can mm-hmm. use me, He can use anybody.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Trustee Mangum, what do you think about the wars that are going on?
I agree with Sister Sherry and Deacon Taylor said, because I was going to say that, you know, revelation about the Bible is fulfilling. That mm-hmm. was my thought on there.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen. Well, let us pray. Our Father and our God, we thank you for those who've been on the line tonight, those who have had great input in this lesson. We pray, God, that as we have studied your lesson about wisdom coming from above, Father, that you are the answer to all of our life's questions, and that you can give us and sustain us as we continue to journey on this Christian life. Father, we thank you for Bible study. We thank you for the church. We thank you for each and every member of First Baptist of Holly Springs. We ask, God, that you would touch them from the top of their head to the sole of their feet, wherever they may be, God, whatever they're lacking. We ask, God, that you would give it to them in the name of Jesus. Now, God, we pray for those who are on their sickbed. God, touch them from the top of their head to the sole of their feet, God. Give them a good night tonight and let them know, God, that you are still with them and walking with them each and every day. Now, Father, we thank you for what you're doing right now and what you're going to be doing tomorrow. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen.
Amen.
God bless y'all.
Amen.
Thank y'all for being
on
the line tonight. Thank y'all.
Amen.
Y'all have a good night.
Thank you.
Sunday.
Thank you, everyone. Have a blessed night.
Thank you.
I once was lost in sin, but Jesus took me in, and then a little life from heaven filled my soul. Well, it filled my soul with love, and wrote my name above. And just a little talk of Jesus made it right. Well, all right,
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 all right.
Now
just a little talk with Jesus makes it right. All right.
Jesus is a friend who watches day and night. Well, I go to him in prayer, and he knows my heavenly care. And just a little talk with Jesus makes it right. Everything's all right.
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 Now, just a little talk with Jesus makes it right. All right.
Everything's all right.
All right.
All right.
All right.
high.